we come to you. And Lord, we have to confess that we might not have been following you as closely as we ought to in this past week. We confess to you our need of you this morning. Come and fill our hearts afresh and anew, we pray. Help us to confess our sins before you, that we might be forgiven, that we might be healed. Lord Jesus, we come and we desire to follow you. We desire to be close to you. Lord, only help us to catch a vision of your glory. Only to catch a vision of your kindness and mercy upon our souls this morning. Lord, that we know that you welcome us as small children, as you welcomed the small children before. Lord, you called them, told the disciples, don't push the small children away, but have them come to me that I might lay my hands upon them, that they might be blessed. Lord, we come to you as small children. Not anything that we can bring, but only what you can give to us, Lord. We come and ask that you might touch us and anoint us and bless us this morning. Thank you for your word that is proclaimed unto us today. And we pray for Pastor Helen as she ministers God's truth and God's word to us, that you would so strengthen us that we would be filled this morning. Take these vessels we offer up to you, Lord. May they be clean vessels. May they be empty vessels that you might fill them, Lord. We ask also this morning that you will be with our brothers and sisters that are struggling with health issues, difficulties, Lord, that are in body. We pray for our brother Robin Chu, who lost his brother this week. We pray for him and the family as they mourn and grieve. We ask that you would be with Robin in a special way as he's amongst his family members and might have more so the opportunity to proclaim your truth and your word to those that are mourning and grieving. Lord, we're also mindful of our needs physically as ones in our midst are struggling with various health issues and concerns. Lord, minister to them physically, we pray. And Lord, we also look to you in way of our missionaries that are scattered around our world, that are serving you in some very difficult places in our world. We thank you, Lord, that they have gone to all cultures and all peoples, Lord, to proclaim your truth and to show your love to so many different people. Thank you, Lord, for Albert and Diane in Sichuan. And we pray, Lord, that you would, Sijin, and we pray for them as they minister there, Lord. Bless them and encourage them. Strengthen them, Lord, in these days. Lord, we also remember Ming and Cindy as they minister in Beijing. Pray that you'll be with them. Lord, we remember Larry and Susan Savage as just this past week traveling all the way to Indonesia, Jakarta, to indeed do the books again, as Larry's so well at and accomplished at doing. We pray for the missionaries that they'll be serving and doing that. Thank you, Lord, for all these ones that are scattered around the world. And Lord, we remember Tuan Han as they're in Taiwan right now ministering to the Vietnamese diaspora. Thank you, Lord, for our brothers and sisters, our hands, our feet that have gone off to minister. Lord, may your name be proclaimed in these difficult, sometimes dark places in our world. Lord, we give to you now this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. I'd have you turn in your Bibles to our passage of Scripture, and it's going to be taken from Philippians chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. So that's one of Paul's epistles. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. And there's four short chapters here in the book of Philippians. And we're going to be reading from verse 1 through 9. And I'm reading from the newer NIV. So if you can follow along there in your various translations, that would be of benefit. reading at chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends. I plead with you, Euodia, and I plead with you, Syntyche, to be the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, my true companion, help these women since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of the co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and I say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition and thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned and received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Amen. May God bless the reading of his word to our hearts this morning. Well, we have the special privilege of welcoming Pastor Helen Mu to be with us this morning, and she brings along her husband, Isaiah. Isaiah, give us a wave there. This is him up at the front. And they have two lovely daughters. They're downstairs. One is Faith, who is 8 years old, and the other is Elizabeth, and she's 3. And so they've joined us this morning, married 11 years. There's a little distance between them there, but they're together. I met Helen while I was doing a doctoral of ministries class with her over at Cary Seminary. And Helen and I got to know each other at the class, and we are taking a preaching class. And so Helen comes to us to preach God's word on the passage that was read to us this morning. So if you'd follow along in your notes that have been given and our outline, and we'll also have the PowerPoint. Helen.
Thank you, Pastor Larry. I'm grateful to be here this morning. And I'm grateful to God for all of you. Our text this morning is taken from Philippians 4, verse 1 to 9. Our theme is Stand Firm in the Lord. The book of Philippians is a letter written by Paul while he was in prison in Rome. It was written to Timothy, Epaphroditus, Euodia, and Syntyche. The purpose of writing was to show his appreciation, love to the Philippians in a thank you letter for their help and support, and also to encourage their growth. Chapter 4 begins with the word therefore, which connects chapter 3 to 4. In chapter 3, Paul regarded the things which he had considered as a gain for himself as a loss, now for the sake of knowing Jesus Christ. And he considered them rubbish, so that he may be founded in Christ Jesus through righteousness from God by faith. Now his focus is in knowing Christ, the power of his resurrection, and participating in Christ's suffering in death and attaining his resurrection. We read this in Philippians 3, 7 to 11. Paul says he has not attained all this, or he has not arrived at his goal, but he presses on to take hold of that which Christ took hold for him. He wants to forget what is behind him and strain towards what is ahead of him. He is pressing towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called him heavenlyward in Christ Jesus. Therefore, Paul calls the Philippians Christians to think in the same way, and I'm calling us today to think in the same way. This passage can be divided into two sections. The first section is verses 1 to 3. Paul is giving the final appeal for steadfastness and unity. The second section is verses 4 to 9. Paul is giving his final exhortations. So, in verse 1, Paul calls the Philippian Christians his brothers and sisters, whom he loved and longed for. This means that Paul had a strong affection for his readers. He remembered his joy and crown. This means Paul's joy was to hear the progress and the spiritual growth of the Philippian Christians. Their presence in the Lord, or with Christ's return, this would be his future crown when Christ will come to reward his servants. Crown calls for a celebration. It is a victory. Paul told the Philippian Christians that they needed to stand firm in the Lord. You can compare this with 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13. This is what it says. Be on your guard. Stand firm in faith. Be men of courage. Be strong. Paul says, Father, I can testify how long I long for you with affection of Christ Jesus. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul continues to say in the Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, 19, for what is our hope, our joy, our crown? It is in glory, in the presence of our Lord Jesus when he comes. How do we stand firm in the Lord? By looking back. Paul encourages the Philippian Christians to look back. For he considered all that which was for his gain as rubbish for the sake of Christ. He said that he has not attained all this, or he has not been made perfect, but he presses on to take hold of that which God has called for him. Looking at this passage, I want to submit to us this morning three things. Number one, a call for reconciliation between two church members. A call for reconciliation between two church members. And we can read this from verses 2 to 3. In verses 2, Paul pleads with Euodia and Syntyche to agree with each other in the Lord. And he asks his loyal yoke fellow to help his women who had contended at its side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of his fellow workers whose names were written in the book of life. In other words, what Paul is doing in this verse, he is calling for harmony between these two women. Although Paul does not say who is in wrong, but he wants these two women to be helped. Perhaps these two women were among the original converts in Philippi. Paul is correcting disunity and calling for harmony. Paul shows that his fellow workers, their work in the Lord had not been forgotten, for their names were written in the book of life. The same call is extended to us today as believers. We need to learn to live at harmony with our fellow believers, even our enemies. The peoples whose names were written in the book of life is mentioned several times in the Old Testament and also in the New Testament. When I was growing up, we used to sing this song in Sunday school. Is your name written there in the book of life? And I want to ask us this morning, is your name written there in the book of life? When we read in Malachi 3, this is what the Bible says. Then those who feared the Lord talked with each other, and the Lord listened and heard. A scroll of remembrance was written in his presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honored his name. In Revelation, John said this, nothing impure will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names were written in Lamb's Book of Life. Jesus says in Luke, however, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. What causes disharmony among brothers and sisters today? Even spouses, even families, even children. What causes disunity? Are you at disunity with anyone this morning? Or perhaps even yourself? Jesus is saying, let it go. Forgive those people whom you are not at peace with. This brings me to my second point, a call to joy and prayerfulness. A call to joy and prayerfulness. We can get this in verses 4 to 7. Paul exhorts the Philippian Christians to rejoice and pray. He told them, rejoice in the Lord. And it is repeated again, rejoice. This shows emphasis. In other words, there's need to rejoice in the Lord. One may wonder this morning, why is Paul emphasizing on this, on the need to rejoice in the Lord, especially in the view of difficulties, personal differences among believers, and even during such trying time? You know why? Because Paul himself had experienced the same. And that's why he's encouraging the Philippian Christian and us today to rejoice in the Lord. In other words, he is saying there's need to show a jovial spirit during such times. Not easy call, not at all. But you know what? The Lord is saying this morning, we need to rejoice in him. Christianity is not a smooth journey, but it calls for joy in Christ as we go through tough times and tribulations. It is only Christ's joy which can be the source of our strength and peace. Rejoice also appears in the Old Testament in Isaiah 25, verse 9. In that day we'll say, surely this is our God. We trusted in him. He saved us. This is the Lord. We trusted in him. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation. The psalmist continues to say, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and I am helped. Prophet Habakkuk said this, though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes in the vines, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen, and no cattle in the stores, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I'll be joyful in God, my Savior. The psalmist continues to say this, sing joyfully to the Lord, you righteous. It is fitting for the upright to praise him. The psalmist continues to say this, satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad in our days. The psalmist further said, because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. When Jesus was born, his birth news brought joy. And this is what the angel says. The angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Jesus said, I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. In verse 5, Paul continues to tell the Christians in Philippians church, that their gentleness should be evident to all. Gentleness means and forbearing, yielding. In other words, their Christian virtue of gentleness should be evident to all people. This list includes both believers and non-believers, even our enemies and the persecutors. In other words, the call is setting a good example to others in deed and actions. Paul further reminds the Philippians church that the Lord is near. This is a reminder about Christ's return. Christ's return will be of great benefit to the believers because he shall bring to end all the suffering and bring to consummation his kingship and judgment. This morning, I want to remind us that the Lord is near. As Christians, we are called also to be gentle with other people. The way we live, our actions, tell more about who we are. They tell more about Christianity. Our actions of love to God can make other people to love God or to hate Christianity. So this morning, we have a responsibility. And let's remember that God is the final judge. So let's do our part and leave the rest to God. In verse 6, Paul continues to exhort the church against anxiety and encourages them to pray. He tells them this, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Anxious means fretfulness or undue concern. What Paul is doing here He's encouraging believers to present their requests to God through prayer and thanksgiving. It is very important for us as Christians to learn to be grateful and appreciate that which God brings our way. Always learning to be grateful for what God has done before. It's very important. There is no need for anxiety, although it is very possible during anxious time when problems come for us to be anxious. But what in everything, in prayer, we need to present our need to Christ. I am reminded of this hymn. I want to believe we know the story of Joseph Medicott. We know this hymn, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. Oh, because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. What makes you anxious this morning? Take it to the Lord in prayer. Is it sickness? Anxiety about the future? A family? A job? The Lord is able." What a beautiful promise as we trust God in our Christian walk, knowing that God's peace will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Only Christ is the Prince of Peace, and we can experience that peace in Christ alone. In Romans, Paul reminds us that, "But God demonstrated his own love for us in this way. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Only God alone can give peace which transcends human understanding. Have you ever experienced such peace? This peace is to guard believers' heart and mind. It is like a shield. In other words, during difficult times and situations which call for anxiety and despair, the peace of God will guard a believer's heart and mind in Jesus' name. In Matthew, Jesus says this to his disciples, and the same is being said to us. Jesus warned his disciples against worry, and he said, "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat or drink, about your body, what you'll wear. Is not life more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barn, and yet our Heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon, in all of his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your Heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, For tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. This brings me to my third point, a call to do what is morally and spiritually excellent. A call to do what is morally and spiritually excellent. We read this in verses 8 to 9. In verses 8 to 9, Paul calls believers to think and do what is spiritually and morally excellent. He tells them what is true, what is noble, what is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. They have to think about heavenly things, and they also have to practice what they have learned from Paul. Let us do some word study here of these verses. What does true mean? True means it's in accordance with a fact or a reality, brings to mind correct, accurate, or right. It's opposite of false. Although this is a character about God, it should also be a character about believers. Romans 3:8. The second word, noble. It means precious, vicious, good, honorable, upright, decent, worthy, moral, ethical, reputable. Paul used this word as he referred to the church office bearers in 1 Timothy 3:8, 1 Timothy 3:1, Titus 2:2. Ruth is said to be a woman of noble character in the Bible. The third word, right. It means acceptable, correct, just. This means it's conformable to God's standard and thus worthy of his approval. The fourth word, pure. It means clean, clear, fresh, sparkling, unpolluted, uncontaminated, untainted. We are called as Christians to have pure hearts. The fifth word, lovely, occurs only here in the New Testament. It also appears in the book of Esther, chapter 5, verse 1. It is related to that which is pleasing, agreeable, or amicable. The sixth word, admirable. It occurs only here through, although Paul used it in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 8. It denotes what is praiseworthy, attractive, and what rings true to the highest standards. Then Paul goes further and uses conditional clause. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Paul is telling the believers here that they have the ability to choose and decide for themselves that which is excellent or praiseworthy. He wants their mind to be set on such, and this will help them to live a good Christian life. God is also saying the same to us today. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, let us think of such things. Remember, God has given us, as human beings, the right to choose between right and wrong. And so, it's a call to us to choose that which is excellent or praiseworthy. Paul says this in Hebrews. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such, there is no law. In conclusion, in verses 9, Paul encourages the believers to imitate him as he follows Christ. He is telling them whatever they have learned or received or seen in him, they need to put it into practice. Paul taught Christian doctrine and Christian living, and the believers in Philippians churches were able to see and observe this. And therefore, he is telling them whatever they have seen, heard from him, they need to put it into practice. And he further says, the God of peace will be with you. God of peace is a common phrase which Paul uses in Romans 15:33. The God of peace be with you all. Paul continues to say this in Romans. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. Paul continues to say this in 1 Corinthians. For God is not God of disorder, but God of peace. And Paul continues to say this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. And this is my prayer to you today. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the reward for being a faithful disciple. God's peace will always be with you. Let us learn to do what is morally and spiritually excellent. The Lord bless you.
Today I'd just like to introduce a new song to remind us to stand firm in his salvation. The chorus goes, how firm our foundation, how sure our salvation, and we will not be shaken. Jesus, our firm foundation. Let's remember that as we focus on being joyful and lifting our troubles to him in prayer and worship. Let's rise together.
Endeavor to shake, you'll never know better.
Please be seated.
Wow, that's been great. I'd have you turn in your bulletins this morning to a few brief announcements. I just want to draw your attention to our coffee time after the service. That'll be, as you go out the doors, it'll be to your left, just down the hallway. You're more than welcome to come and join us. Following the service, there'll be some coffee, some snacks there, opportunity to get to know a few people. I hope Helen and Isaiah will be there as well. You can talk to them if they're not mobbed by everybody else. It's so good to have Pastor Helen and Pastor Isaiah with us, and I'm sure you'll want to get to know them a little bit more before they leave us today. Also, you'll note that we have a care home visitation today. Please be in prayer for us as we go out to our care home. If you would like to have the opportunity to join us, you're more than welcome to come out with us, sing a few songs. I give a little bit of a message on Psalm 27 this morning. It's about an hour and a half that we take in being out there. It's an hour and a half, maybe about an hour. A great time of ministry to seniors in care homes here in our community. So please, if you feel the urge even today, talk to Peter or myself, and we'll be more than welcoming to you. Also, you'll note that we will be having a few different things happening in the course of Easter, a Good Friday service, a sunrise service. These are great events that we look for in way of drawing together again during the Passion Week, the week that we remember Christ's death and resurrection. So please look forward to that and prayerfully concern yourself over how you might draw closer and closer to Christ. Also, you'll note that the last item, please turn your clocks back next week. We always look forward to that ahead. Thank you, Berna. Yeah, turn it ahead, not back. Thank you. We'll be 2 hours late for the service if you do that. Pay attention to some of these announcements, and do join us for our Sunday school class happening after the service as well. We take opportunity to, stand firm for the men. Interesting that God leads us in way of coinciding both what Pastor Helen spoke to us this morning and also our Sunday school on standing firm. Would you stand with me now as I give you the benediction taken from, again, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Pastor Helen read that for us already. It says there again, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. After silent prayer, be dismissed, and please do come and join us at our connections room.